So glad you're here this morning. Before we start, wasn't worship great this morning? I love that. I was telling Char, being right up here, you get to really see kind of everything that's going on the platform. She was playing guitar, but she was singing her heart out. And I'm like, man, that was so encouraging to me. And so I'm so grateful for our worship team and what they do. This morning, just, is there anyone in the room that's just struggling with fear?
We're afraid to raise our hands.
That's the wrong group of people to ask, right? Well, let me just tell you this. We were singing that song, "I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God." And I just, man, I felt that down in my bones, that if you're in here and you're afraid this morning, there's a lot of uncertainty in your life right now. The Lord would magnify His voice louder than the fear. And that what you would hear is His voice, His encouragement, and what He says about you as a child of God, not what anyone else says. It's not in my notes anywhere. Okay, so my name is James Parker. I'm one of the elders at the church. Meredith is my wife. Tyler was playing bass is my son. My daughter Julia is in the back, right behind the sound booth. She first of all asked, "Was I going to say something about her today?" So I just now have. And second of all is that she told me right before I started preaching that there was a 50% chance she's going to fall asleep. And so y'all just keep an eye on her for me if you would. So I've got my rally towel here because I sweat. Or if the Holy Spirit gets going, I'll just wave it and let Him go. And we'll pretend we're at a hockey game. My day job is as a banker. I work at Inwood Bank in Denton. And several years ago now, I was at a closing, and I was there with a couple who had achieved some milestones. Matter of fact, on the day we were closing their loan, it was their 60th wedding anniversary. What a way to celebrate, right? Oh, someone a bunch of money. So we're there, and we're signing papers, and they had mentioned that it was their anniversary. And so I said, "Hey, what's the secret to 60 years of happy marriage?" He didn't even look up from his papers. He's still signing. And he says, "Oh, it's easy. You don't listen to a thing she says." She also did not look up from her paper. And she goes, "Who said anything about happy?" Communication is important in any relationship. And that includes our relationship with the Lord. And so this morning, we're going to talk about hearing God. If you've got your Bible, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it's such a great passage. And really, I'm going to give you a summary to get you up to the first two chapters. But let me encourage you to read them, because my Cliff Notes version is not that great. It'll just get us there. It'll help you know what's happened up to that point. So in 1 Samuel, there's a lady named Hannah who's sad because she hasn't had a baby and she wants one. And so every year her family goes to the tabernacle. They're at the tabernacle. She's praying. She's pouring out her heart to God. I don't know how it looked, but it must have looked pretty weird, because Eli the priest goes, "Are you drunk?" because of the way that she was praying. She explains the situation. She explains what she's asking the Lord for. And he says, "May the Lord give you what your heart desires." And the Lord does. And Hannah has promised to the Lord that if He would give her a son, she would give him back to the Lord. And so she does. Baby's born. Once he's weaned, she brings him back to the tabernacle and hands him to the priest. Pastor John asked me to announce that the way we dedicate children at New Life Church has nothing to do with that. We'll bring you on stage. We'll pray for you. We will help you raise your child, but it's going home and not with him. Pastor Jim may make an exception for Bridger, but I think that's the only one, in that deal. So this young man is raised in the tabernacle, basically helping Eli as he serves as priest. Eli also has two sons that scripture calls scoundrels. That's a great description of them. These guys did not take their priestly duties serious at all. They stole offerings that were meant for the Lord. Scripture says that they seduced women who worked in the tabernacle. These guys were not good guys and were not serious about the Lord. Eli knows about it, and he brings it up, but boy, he doesn't do anything to really put a stop to it. And so we get to the end of chapter 2, and there's someone who gives a message to Eli from the Lord. We don't even know the guy's name, but he basically tells him the Lord's seen, and he knows. And he's not going to let that go on. And basically, Eli's boys continue doing what they're doing. Samuel continues to do what he's doing that honors the Lord. So we get to 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And here's what it says. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. All right, I don't read fast, so we'll go on further, but let's stop there for just a minute, okay? Because it was the boy Samuel. Scripture doesn't make it clear exactly how old Samuel is at this point. We believe from outside historical records he was probably about 12 when this happened. Spoiler alert, Samuel is about to hear the voice of the Lord in a time where the word of the Lord was rare. A 12-year-old is about to hear the voice of the Lord. Hey, parents, can I just encourage you? Help your children hear the Lord's voice. They're not too young. There's going to be a day where they're going to need to make a decision, and your voice isn't going to be there. But if they've learned to tune their ear to the voice of the Lord, they'll never walk alone. So when they come to you for advice, and this is hard to do because we're so wise and we've got lots of great advice to give. Can you take a step back and go, what's the Lord saying to you about that? And just trust that the Lord can speak to their hearts and they can hear from Him. By the way, there are a lot of messages that'll come a lot better from Him than from you. We want to tune their hearts to the voice of the Lord. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. That word rare is two-thirds of the time it's used in the Old Testament. It's translated precious. Precious, not only rare because it didn't happen a whole lot, but because it had meaning to it, had some weight to it when it happened. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, probably spiritually as well, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. And suddenly, the Lord called out Samuel. Now, some of you, I just want to tell you right now, the Lord has anointed your plans for this afternoon because you're going to take a nap. And it's right there, okay? Sometimes we think we've got to do a lot to get God to speak. We've got to work something up. We've got to, you know, fast and pray and seek Him. And there are times where we do that. But I want you to know that God can break into your everyday ordinary. God can break into your sleep. God can speak to you while you're driving down the road. And sometimes there's nothing that we do. It's all initiated by an awesome God who wants to communicate to us and communicate to our heart. There were a group of prophets who did think they had to do a lot to get their God to speak. They were the prophets of Baal. And if you remember, the prophet of God kind of made fun of them. You know, yell louder. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's taking a restroom break. Our God hadn't done that. He still speaks. The Lord called out Samuel. He called him by name. He called him by name. Our God is a personal God. There is the word of God that's corporate, that's for all of us. But there are moments the Lord's going to call to you by name. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and he ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Good response, wrong person. Okay, so you hear the voice of the Lord, and he goes, here I am, I'm coming. And it was fast, but he got it wrong. I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. God's grace is great. He doesn't call to us once. He continues to confirm his word. He continues even when we go, is that really him? I'm waiting. And he doesn't give up on us. He calls again by name, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son. Eli said, go back to bed. Neither one of them are terribly sharp. this has happened several times. And it says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Lord Jesus, we come this morning desiring to hear your voice. And Lord, I'm grateful that you're a God who speaks, that you're a God who speaks personally. Lord, I'm grateful that you're a God of grace that doesn't rely on my ability to hear. The miracle is in you communicating to us. And so, God, we just come before you and we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. God, we haven't hardened our hearts. God, we're not like Eli who heard your word and valued another relationship higher than what you had to say. God, we want to be like Samuel who runs to you and who says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you, don't hesitate to help your kids hear the voice of God. I was reminded while I was thinking about that of over 20 years ago, we took a group of young people to Guatemala on a mission trip. I have no idea what these parents were thinking, to send their teenagers, with a 20-something year old, who'd never been to this country to go preach the gospel. But some of them said yes, and maybe it was like Samuel. Maybe they were like, hey, let's get him out of the house for a week. Some of them I completely get that about because I would have probably done the same thing at that point. But we go to Guatemala and here's the first miracle is that we had almost $10,000 more raised than what we needed to go on the trip. And so with the donor's permission, we decided to take that money and give it while we were on the trip. And the way we decided to do it was that we were going to ask the Lord to show us where to give the money. And then we were going to let the kids decide where we were going to give it. And so they know we're carrying this money as we're going. And everywhere we go, they're praying and asking the Lord, where should we give this money? So first day goes by, we don't give anything away. So not a big deal. Second day we go, and the first church we go to is in a building campaign. They're about to build a new building, and so we're excited about that. One of the young ladies says, I believe we're supposed to give $2,000 to this church. We did. It was exciting. It was awesome. That afternoon, we're at another church. It's a really small church. You knew how everybody's voices sounded. You knew how they smelled. You knew what they had for lunch. We were close contact. I'll just say that, okay? And it's a small little building. And so after the service, we're outside. We're in front of the church. And a knot-headed 14-year-old boy comes up to me and he goes, I believe we're supposed to give the pastor $387. It was a very specific amount. And he said, and we're supposed to give it to the pastor, not the church. Okay? Were you with me on that one? Yeah. So we do. And this pastor and his wife who are standing together are just absolutely weeping. I mean, tears are just running down their face. And what they share with us is that her mother was dying. The pastor's wife's mother was dying. And $387 was the exact amount it took to get both of them to her. And that the Lord had told him not to ask the church for it because he was going to provide it. Man, you want to talk about getting some faith. That you can hear God. I wasn't sure this kid could hear anything other than Mountain Dew calling his name. But the Lord broke through and spoke to him. So a couple of things I want to do, and I just hope to be really practical today. But a couple things I want to point out. The first one is this. God still speaks. God still speaks. Listen, we are not in a day and age when the Word of God is rare. You look through the Old Testament, and there's all kinds of ways that God spoke. He was a very creative communicator. He spoke to Moses from a burning bush that was not consumed. He spoke to Elijah through a still small voice, to Jacob through an angel, to Joseph through dreams, to a pagan king by writing on a wall with an invisible hand, to Balaam by opening the mouth of a donkey. Be kind of cool to watch. And with an audible voice many times in both the Old and the New Testaments. But do you believe God is still speaking today and that he wants to speak to you? Here's what Jesus had to say about it in John chapter 10. He said this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me." He says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. God still speaks. Matter of fact, our relationship with him started with him calling our name. I don't know how it happened, but you didn't find Jesus. He found you. He called to you. You heard. You didn't harden your heart. You said, I'll follow you. And with the same faith that you heard Jesus that first time, you still can respond today by hearing and responding to him every time. In Eli and Samuel's day, messages from the Lord were rare and visions uncommon. But I don't believe scripture teaches that is the case today. Joel said that when the Lord pours out his spirit on all people, he said, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. God still speaks. Jesus said when he left the earth that he would send the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth and to remind us of all he said. We are living in those days. God still speaks. So the question is, how do we recognize God's voice? How do I know that God is speaking to me? I don't know about you, but I've never had the burning bush experience. Okay? I've been around donkeys. None of them ever talked to me. Okay? I can't even tell you for sure that I've ever heard the audible voice of God. But I do hear God frequently. So how does that happen? How does he speak to us? I'm going to suggest a couple of ways. And our God's a creative God, so don't Don't think this is an exhaustive list, but maybe it's just some common ways that I've experienced God speaking to me. The first one is through his written word, through the Bible. Man, this is the easiest one. It doesn't take a lot of faith, right? I read, here's what it says. I believe that is God's word to me. And as we approach his word expecting to hear his voice, it opens to us in new ways that sometimes speaks to specific situations we are currently in. As we study the Bible, we begin to recognize the heart of God and what his word sounds like. And we give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would remind us of everything Jesus had said. It's easier to remind you if you already heard it. Stuck it away in your heart somewhere. So God speaks to us through his written word. God speaks to us sometimes through other believers. One of the reasons it's important to be in fellowship with other Christians in a church is that sometimes God speaks to us through other folks. For Samuel, even as God was speaking to him, he didn't recognize the voice of the Lord. Thank God Eli was there. And Eli, as wicked as he might have been at that point, still knew that's the Lord and could point Samuel to that. Sometimes we need a prophet to give audible voice to the word of God. I'm going to be honest with you. For me, sometimes it's easier for me to hear God for you than it is for me. I know me. I know things about me you guys don't know about me. And sometimes I think if I were God, I would have a different word for me than what he has for me. So sometimes it's easier for me to hear God's voice for you and to share it with you because it's a lot kinder than mine. God speaks to us through our thoughts and impressions. This is the way I hear from the Lord the most frequently. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had that moment where out of nowhere, it's impressed on you to call someone or to text someone, and it's just like, boom, out of nowhere, and you do it, and in that conversation, you begin to realize God was already working in that person, and there was something very specific that he wanted you to be there for, and you realize God was speaking to me when I thought I need to call that person. Anyone ever have that happen? How many times do we have that happen and we don't know until afterwards that was the voice of God? We just, all of a sudden, that's when we get the confirmation that God was prompting me to do that. Romans 12 tells us that with a renewed mind, we are able to test and approve what God's will is. As we abide in Jesus, our thoughts and even our desires can line up with his will. I think the reason that, we don't maybe have as many, big events where God has spoken to us in very outward ways is just this simple. We have something they didn't have in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit resides in us. God can speak to us spirit to spirit. It's pretty simple. If you ever ride anywhere with me, even if I have a reasonably good idea of where we're going, I'm probably going to put the GPS on. If I don't, you should probably suggest it because my directions are bad. I've just gotten used to it. Before GPS, I used to run all over the Metroplex delivering T-shirts, and Meredith was my GPS. I would call her and go, I'm at this intersection and this intersection, and she'd get on MapQuest and she would help guide me the rest of the way. Thank God for cell phones and Meredith. But I love GPS. It knows where I'm going. As long as I pay attention to it, don't get too engrossed in the conversation, I'm going to wind up there. And it knows where some of the traffic blocks are, where things are slowed down, things that I need to avoid that I may have driven it 1,000 times, but didn't know. Man, as believers in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have GPS. If we'll tune our ears to His voice, He knows where we're going. He knows where the roadblocks are. He knows where the traffic jams are. He can help us avoid them. What if I hear wrong? Anyone ever have that fear? I want to hear God, but how do I know it's Him? And what if I hear wrong? Can I put a little grace into this thing for you right here? And just say this, that my faith is in the communicator, not the hearer. God is perfectly able to communicate His will to me, and if I get it wrong, to correct me, to help me adjust. There's a great story in Acts chapter 16. Paul, hero of the faith, and Silas are on a missionary journey. And two times in the course of about three chapters, the Holy Spirit has to prevent them from going somewhere to preach the gospel. It's a good thing, right? That's what they're called to do. But they're going, and the Holy Spirit stops them. Okay, so not a big deal. Okay, we'll stop. We'll do what we're doing here. They try to go again, right? The Holy Spirit stops them a second time. And then Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia. And listen at this. Here's what it says. And having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there, they got it. They figured it out. It's okay. Hey, listen. When we, as an act of faith, believe God has spoken to us, it lines up with His character. You know, maybe even we've gone to other believers and said, hey, I think this is what the will of God is for me. Are you hearing that? And they go, yes. Even if we all miss it, God is big enough to get me where He wants me to be. Christy, not every detour is a detour. We don't know. But when our heart is to the Father and to pursue Him and to seek after Him, He's with us right in the middle of all of it, every step of the way. God can close and open doors for our direction and obedience. If you're ever not sure, let me suggest this. Go back to the last thing you feel confident that you heard from the Lord. If you're still not sure, step out in faith on that and just tell the Lord, hey, best I know, this is what You told me to do. And I'm out of obedience and a desire to follow You. That's what I'm doing. And if it's not right or you've got something different, God, change my path. Change my steps. He can do it. Third thing I'll suggest is that we should be positioned to receive from the Lord. Got great news for those of you with bad knees. Samuel did not have to get down and do this and all that kind of stuff to receive from the Lord. What he did have was this, a heart that said, speak, Lord, Your servant is listening. Why was the word of God rare in those days? Could it be that you had a priest who didn't care to hear from the Lord? Who had hardened his heart? And then you have a Samuel who says, speak, Lord, Your servant is listening. God's a gentleman. He comes where He's invited. He speaks where there's a listening ear. You want to hear from the Lord? Position yourself by saying, speak, Lord, Your servant listens. My heart is to do Your will. My heart, my desire is to do what You want for me. Lord, show me what it is. So how do you hear God's voice more? How many people in here really want to play a musical instrument? Anyone? A couple of you? Meredith, take names. Y'all will all be getting a call this week. If you want to learn how to play a musical instrument and you want to get really good at it, you do it by practicing. Right. You spend a lot of time with it. And by the way, I've had two students in my home that were in band, there are some bad sounds that start out with any of that. Right? You gotta, not you, Tyler, but, there's some bad sounds that start out with it because we don't start out expert at anything. We kind of learn as we go, and there's some grace in how we approach that. So let me suggest a couple of ways that you can practice hearing God, and I want to encourage you to do some of these. The first one is this. Tomorrow morning when you sit down with a cup of coffee and your Bible and you're getting ready to read some scripture, start out with this and just say, Lord, would you speak to me through your word today? Come at it not just as a way of checking off something that you do every day, but with a real desire that God, I want you to communicate to me. And when he does, stop. You don't have to read a whole chapter. You might have to. But when God speaks to you and he tells you something, stop and do it. If you need to pray, pray. If you need to call someone, write them an email, text them, do it. If you need to get up and go forgive someone, do it. Let the Lord speak to you through his word and show him, Lord, speak because your servant is listening and is going to do what you say. Here's a fun one. I'm not good at this, but my wife is. Practice prophetic gifting. Okay? Next time you decide you're going to give someone something, ask the Lord what it ought to be. It's amazing how God will speak to you in those simple ways. God, what can I give them that would be meaningful? And it's a fun way just to hear God and to know that he cares about that person more than you do. And he'll do that. Ask the Lord to show you a person today you can be his messenger to. I told you sometimes it's easier for us to believe God's word for someone else than for ourselves. And by the way, if this is terrifying to you, to go up to someone and say, hey, I believe God would say this to you. I believe God has a word for you. Go to Louisville. Go somewhere you won't ever see someone again. And just practice. Just practice there. Kim Walker Smith tells a story. She's a worship leader. If you don't know who she is, if you've ever heard a worship song and the lady laughs really great in the middle of it, that's her, Kim Walker Smith. So she tells a story about when she was practicing hearing God, and she goes to a store, and she's just looking around going, Lord, who would you have me to speak to? And he points out a lady that has a doll in her cart. That's all she has, this single doll. And so she goes up to her and she says, ma'am, I believe I'm supposed to buy that for you. And the lady's offended. She is mad. She's like, no, I can buy it myself. So Kim kind of walks back and goes, maybe I misheard God. Well, he calls her again and says, you need to buy that doll for that lady. So she goes back and says, ma'am, I don't want to offend you, but I really believe I'm supposed to buy this doll for you. Lady's upset again. She's like, nope. Third time, she's in line. The lady's about to go check out. And she says, ma'am, I really believe God wants me to buy that doll for you. The lady goes, okay, whatever. So she buys the doll. Again, feeling like this is not how a word from God is supposed to go, right? It's supposed to bring some joy and some life and not this anger. So she buys the doll. She goes out, no resolution to this. And she's in the parking lot. She's getting ready to get in her car, and this lady catches up to her. And she goes, hey, I'm so sorry I was rude to you. She goes, you see, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. My daughter, my young daughter, believes in God. I don't know how it happened, but she's believing in God. And she's been praying for this doll. So I came to buy the doll for her to prove that God's not real, but mom is. Ask the Lord to show you someone today that you can speak to, that you can be his messenger to. Joseph talked about us being ambassadors to bring heaven to earth. I think that happened in that moment. Share some things that you believe God may have spoken to you with another believer. Just ask him, hey, would you seek God for me on this? I think this is what God's telling me. Would you see if that's him as well? Allow a safe place to practice and grow. It's okay to say, hey, I think this might be what the Lord's saying. I believe this may be a word from the Lord. Let's be a safe place for people to practice hearing the Lord. I came home the other day, there's a picture, I think, maybe for the screens. I did get Meredith's permission to share this with you. So I come home the other day, and I pull into my driveway, and Meredith's sitting in my rocking chair, and she's got a towel on her lap, and I'm not sure what she's doing, but she's rocking. And I get out of the truck, and I go, and she's rocking her chicken. This is the only layer that we have. I like eggs, and Meredith loves chickens. And so she's rocking this chicken. And I'm like, well, hey, babe, what's up? And so she's watching a show, and the Lord tells her, go check on your chicken. And so she goes out, and she checks on her chicken. Her chicken's having heat stroke, heat what? Heat something. And so she Googles it and finds out that it's pretty critical that you do something really quick to get this chicken cooled down. She brings it in, she puts it in our dish sink, and she washes the chicken, and she runs cold water over it. But then the chicken gets cold. I don't think it told her. I think she just figured that out. And so she took it outside, and she sat in the chair, and she rocked the chicken. And by the time I got there, this picture was taken a little bit later, but by the time I got there, the chicken was asleep. It's just petting her chicken. The chicken's asleep in a towel in a rocking chair. Well, I thought, how cool that God cares enough about the eggs I like and the chicken Meredith loves to tell her, go check on your chicken. And if he cares that much over a chicken and some eggs, how much more does he care about you and desire to communicate and speak to you and to the people that you love and the people who are in your life and the people that he's placed you in their lives as an ambassador to? So I want to encourage you to listen for the Lord's voice. And when he speaks, be obedient. Do what he says. Do your best to honor him. Act in faith. For some today, you're here and the very first time you've heard God speak was today. And it had nothing to do with what I said, but you did hear the Lord call your name. And he invites you to come and be a follower of his. He wants to speak to you every day of your life. For others, you're wrestling with some really tough decisions. And you need the Lord's direction. I want to encourage you that there are other people in this building who love the Lord, who hear the Lord. By the way, prophetic people are some of the weirdest people you ever meet in your life. I love you guys, but y'all are weird. You know, people who will say whatever God tells them to say, do whatever God tells them to do, they're weird people. But man, I'm so glad they're here. I'm praying for God to bring more of them to our church. But maybe you need someone who just go, hey, I'll pray with you, and I'll seek God with you, and I'll help you. I'll help you recognize what the Lord's voice is. We got people who will do that with you today as well. So today, if you hear the Lord's voice, don't harden your heart. Respond today. Respond today. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that here in just a moment. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for communicating with us. Thank you for calling us by name. Thank you that there's no situation we're in that caught you by surprise. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in us and guides us and corrects, opens doors and closes doors. God, I thank you for your children that are in this room. Lord, I pray today that they hear your voice, they don't harden their heart, that we respond to you. And Lord, that you'd use us as your ambassadors to a hurting world. Lord, we come before you and just say, speak. Your servants are listening. And we're going to run to you when we hear you call. And we're going to do what you say to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you need to do business with the Lord, there'll be some folks up here at the altar that'll be there to help you. Pastor Jim will be back in the pulpit next week. He was with family for a wedding, and we appreciate you giving him the flexibility to be there this week. If this is your first week, come back. You'll hear some really good preaching next week. And so we're glad that you were here and grateful for you. Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you. Lord, give you his peace in Jesus' name.